I'm John Moe. This week on Wits, actor Danny Pudi, you might know him as Abed on the TV show Community, he talks about an earlier performance that was not as successful.
So I think I got up on a table, sang something probably in Polish, Stolat, stolat, nie żyje, żyje, mam. And then I had some potatoes, and I would finish the song with some potatoes that I would put on my head.
Also on the show, the regrets of a stormtrooper.
Dear cousin, I fear that those were the droids we were looking for.
And singer Harmar Superstar, who lives a life of adventure.
Basically, like somebody is like, who wants to stir the world's largest pad thai? And I was like, oh, me!
Yet now we're back from settling up our business. We earn the right to take on the night. Yeah, we're gonna enter the ether. Either you're in or your style is so tight.
All on Wits, coming right up. From APM, American Public Media, this is Wits. I'm John Moe. This week's show comes to you from the historic Fitzgerald Theater in St. Paul. We have Danny Pudi with us this week. He's an actor, probably best known for his role as Abed on the TV show Community. He also appeared in shows like The Gilmore Girls, Hot in Cleveland, and films such as Captain America, Winter Soldier. Our music guest this week is singer Harmar Superstar. In a minute here, he's going to offer up some sweet, soulful sounds. First up, a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Documentarian Ken Burns has brought you such gripping and personal works as The Civil War, Baseball, and The Roosevelts. Now, his greatest achievement yet. Letters from actual stormtroopers in the battle between the Empire and the Rebellion. This is Ken Burns' Star Wars.
Millicent, Tatooine is a desert planet, an arid, boiling hell. Still, we are required to wear plastic armor and big plastic helmets. Oh, how I do chafe and sweat. I get sand in my breathing mask. Though I try to drink water, it dribbles all over my mouthpiece. Tis ridiculous. I have been mocking up alternatives of white mesh, tank tops, cargo shorts for weaponry and the like, and super fun baseball caps. None of my colleagues are willing to model. I shall persevere.
Darling Abigail, the days passed drearily aboard the Death Star. The fellows and I tried video games, but since we are all clones of one person, it's no fun. Scrabble is out for the same reason. We thought badminton might be a solution, but our plastic armor makes mobility difficult, and we end up smashing into each other and falling over. Charades is no good. Everyone just does Lord Vader, and we guess it right away. So we usually practice shooting, but we are not getting any more accurate.
Dearest sister, wonderful news. I was cast into the Death Star's improv troupe. We're called the Remains of Alderaan. My first show is Tuesday at 10 p.m. We're in the cafeteria right now making t-shirts. Regulations being what they are, they have to be white and can't have any text on them. And we have to wear them over our armor. And we must keep the helmets on, of course.
Millicent, back aboard the Death Star now. I am pleased to report progress on my idea for a more comfortable stormtrooper uniform. I procured an appointment to show my designs to Grand Moff Tarkin, the most important of all Moffs. He insisted full helmets are necessary at all times to preserve anonymity among the stormtroopers, which seemed odd given that we are all clones of the same guy. Why not dispense of the helmets and just be the same comfy guy? And it's not like rebels can sneak onto the Death Star and outsmart stormtroopers. Yeah, right.
Danny Pudi, Harmar Superstar, Mike Fotis, and me as stormtroopers. Joe Savage on harmonica. Our guests are interesting, fascinating, even at times shocking. This is a segment we call Shocking Facts.
Shocking Facts.
Danny Pudi, Shocking Fact. You have run 4 marathons.
Yes. Thanks. I'm frail, but But with training and with the support of my lovely wife and friends and family, I can do it, guys. 26.2 miles.
This is what I wonder about marathon running. After you've run the first one, how do you train? How long does it take to train for the second one? And don't you feel like dying in between?
Okay, so the first part of your question. Yeah, I can't walk after I run a marathon. And I typically wait a long time until I'm like, I miss that feeling of like, of pain and conquering something. They give you a nice medal at the end. And usually it's like after you're finished with the marathon, it's so exciting because you kind of like get a chance to experience what it might be like to be an Olympic athlete for just a very small moment in time. But then you also feel like you could eat and drink anything after a race, which is like the best feeling in the world. So I'd say about a year after a marathon, I'm ready for another one.
Do you do the carbo loading thing? Is that a real thing?
You know, I think there's sort of studies saying that it's not necessarily, I don't know if it really works, I think, but I love pasta, so I do it. Just love it.
It's a pasta opportunity.
Yeah.
Danny Pudi, shocking fact, you were kicked out of your sophomore year dining hall.
Yeah.
This is some troubling information.
This is the low point of the show, guys. So you guys know.
It's a hard-hitting, this is gotcha journalism right here.
It is.
Well, so why? Why did you get kicked out of this dining hall?
You know, I was encouraged by my friends to be goofy. And I had like really long hair. This was pre-9/11, so it was different. And it was...
Everyone suspected the Polish people, didn't they?
I was definitely like, I was searching for myself, I would say. So one of the things they encouraged me to do sometimes was jump on tables and do like a song and dance. So I think I got up on a table, sang something probably in Polish. It was probably like, stolat, stolat, nie żyje, żyje mam. And then I had some potatoes and I would finish the song with some potatoes that I would put on my head.
Is that a tradition in Poland?
It's not. It's okay. Really not a tradition. But Polish people do love potatoes. I love potatoes. But then one day I did that, and some potatoes, I think, fell on the table, but they also fell, I think, on the carpet. And then some people got angry, and they kicked me out of the dining hall. My whole goal was not to hurt anybody but myself. So it was definitely a low point.
It's interesting. Yeah. You kind of walked up to the line with the getting on the table and singing. That seemed to be okay.
Yeah, it was fine.
It's the potatoes that put you over.
But you need a good ending, right? I mean, it's a pretty good, like, that's a good, you know, ending.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah, thanks.
Danny Pudi, shocking fact. You broke your collarbone playing football?
Yeah. So the shocking fact is that I played football. And then, yeah, sophomore year of high school, I was a wide receiver, Notre Dame High School. Woo! Dons! Any Dons in the house? All right. Dons out there over the radio waves. What's up? And I was going for a typical out pattern.
You're a high school wide receiver. Right?
Yeah. And I should not have been playing football. No, I just should not have been. But I like football, and my friends play football, so I did. And then I got hit from behind, like right on my collarbone. I laid on the ground, and I knew right away because it felt so good to lay on the ground. It just felt so good, and I didn't want to get up. And when I couldn't like lift my pads over my shoulder, I knew I broke something. So,
shocking fact, Danny Pudi, your first concert you ever went to was Janet Jackson. Rhythm Nation tour.
Rhythm Nation. You guys remember how good Rhythm Nation was? Oh, it was so good. Right. It was just, I just remember Janet Jackson and like her whole team of dancers, right? She came out, and I'm making this all up right now because this is like, you know, my memories are, I feel like they were dressed all like in black and like tattered post-apocalyptic garb, right? And then they came out and it was just that song where it was just, it might have been the title track, right? Rhythm Nation? Mm-hmm. And they just had this awesome, like, choreographed hand routine kind of thing going on. And I was like, this was 1989. I was 10 years old, 9 or 10 years old. And I was with, like, my cool aunt. Mm-hmm. Like, she took me to the concert. And so I didn't, like, know what to do, but she was, like, cool and she was dancing. And I was just looking. But it was like one of those like mind-blowing moments. I remember in Chicago going to like my first like awesome concert, Janet Jackson. They had all these dancers going nuts. The music was awesome. And it was also like one of my first experiences. I remember going out with like a relative that was like cool. Mm. And that was like a big thing, like growing up in my household, which was pretty strict, seeing a relative that like, we'll take you to a concert. And then one of my relatives took me to see Thai kickboxing. And it was like, that's when I was like, maybe I shouldn't have seen that. Because I was like, he was supposed to be babysitting me, and then we were watching Thai kickboxing. I'm like 9 years old.
Watching guys kick each other in the head.
I'm like 9 years old, ringside, and these guys are just mauling each other.
Danny Pudi, everybody. These are his shocking facts. Our musical guest this week is a good friend of the show. His latest album is Bye Bye 17. Please welcome Harmar Superstar. Superstar with John Munson and the Witnesses, Matt Darling, Zach Lozier, and Chris Thompson in a horn section. Coming up, more with Harmar Superstar and actor Danny Pudi. Pop Song Correspondences grapples with the menace of the rock lobster, and lives are on the line at Doctor Hospital. This is Wits. I'm John Moe.
This is Wits. I'm John Moe, here with actor Danny Pudi and singer Harmar Superstar. Our guests are interesting, fascinating, even, yes, shocking. This is a segment we call Shocking Facts.
Shocking Facts.
Harmar Superstar, we have some shocking facts about you. We would like you to elaborate upon them. You once stirred the world's largest pad thai.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Tell me how this came about.
I'd just gotten back from the beach. I was living in L.A. at the time, and I was driving down Hollywood Boulevard in Thai Town, and we see a wok that's like the size of like two cars in the parking lot in the middle of all these Thai restaurants, and it's like a big banner that says world's largest pad thai. So we're, of course, like, hell yes, we got to stop and pull over. So we pull over, get out of the car, and it's just like kind of like local Thai folk, business owners, and the community kind of gathered around. Basically, like, somebody is like, who wants to stir the world's largest pad thai? And I was like, oh, me! And I ran straight to the front.
And this is a noodle dish. It's
giant noodle dish, you know, classic peanut-based flavors.
Right. Yep.
So they give me, like, this shovel. But I didn't think about it at the time. I was wearing a tank top because I was just at the beach, so everybody was horrified looking on as I was like getting my pits over it. Like, they could see little fledgling armpit hairs falling into the wok, which, by the way, this pad thai was going to be eaten by the crowd afterwards, so
you're going to have to send back the pad thai
I tainted this one. I'll just take it home.
Did you have any of the pad thai yourself?
I didn't. It was going to take a while to wait, and I didn't have the patience because I already touched it, so it was fine.
Your work there was done.
Yeah.
Now, this shocking fact, Sean, I want you to bear in mind the public radio weekend motorist driving around listening to the radio, and I want you not to make them vomit in horror.
This is going to be tricky.
Just want you to be careful, as you weren't at age 9, because at age 9, you saw your friend's finger pop off.
I did. We lived in a small town called Marshall, Minnesota.
Yeah!
Man, so we figured out a way to get on the rooftops of all, like, the downtown establishments. And we'd run from rooftop to rooftop and jump, and there was this one daunting drop that we wanted to get down to this other level so bad, but it was like a 6-foot drop and we were like 2 feet tall. And so I found this like twine that I was like, cool, I found some rope in my parents' basement. And my friend
Steady
Danny.
Steady there, Sean. Steady there.
My friend Danny was the oldest, so we made him go first. And he wrapped the twine around his hand a bunch of times, and he kind of hung there, and he's kind of scared to drop, but he was only going to drop like a couple feet, but it was still like scary, and he'd cut off the circulation to his hand, and when he let go, he hit the wall, and we just watched it go boop, and like half the finger just popped off and like flipped away. Luckily, it was on top of a pharmacy, so we were like, he's good. and we ran away. Got on our bikes, and me and my friend Ryan went home and played Atari for about 20 minutes, as you do in an emergency. And all of a sudden, my brother comes running in the room like, what did you guys do? They need you to go downtown to the pharmacy to look for Danny's finger. And we were like, okay, we were on the roofs, and we had to go and confess this whole thing and go on the roof, and I found the finger. And I never got reattached because I know, I feel like a real, look at that, I just killed the audience right there.
Well, these are all shocking facts. Harmar Superstar, thank you so much for the shocking facts. Here with more music, Harmar Superstar.
sucking up my life. In the midst of the night, I can't look at this room, nor you. It's just too soon now. Don't go soft without my love. Your darling, just go. It's the end of an era, the end of the road. You just have to let me flow. Yeah, I'll miss you most. I made my mistakes, now I have no home. And don't go soft without my love. Won't be there to hold you. It's time that I told you. Just let the memories unfold. Yeah, when it gets cold in your new world, you're out on your own. Yeah, now my rawest nerves exposed. You got your eyes closed, you're closing them now. Yeah, I know what you wish. So, baby, just listen now. Don't go soft without my love. Won't be there to hold you. It's time that I told you. Just let the memories unfold. Yeah, when it gets cold. I made my mistakes, now I have no home. And don't go soft without my love. Won't be there to hold you. It's time that I told you. Just let the memories unfold. Yeah, when it gets cold. In your new world, you're out on your own.
Thank you.
Harmar Superstar with John Munson and the Witnesses. Well, Danny Pudi is a TV star, been on a bunch of shows. Harmar Superstar has been on a bunch of TV shows as well. Thus, they are qualified to play a game we call All-Star Celebrity TV Preview. I will give you a name of the show, not exactly a real show, but real enough for our purposes. Danny, you tell us what the show is all about. Harmar Superstar, accompanied by our band, will provide the theme song. After each round, I will declare a winner. My judgments, as always, will be arbitrary and capricious. Here we go. Round one. Danny Pudi, the name of the show is Dead and Breakfast.
Ooh. Controversial. This one's controversial, guys. Yeah.
It's a cable thing. This is
definitely on cable. It actually started off as like this YouTube series where two boys, teenagers actually, set off doing pranks. And what they would do is they were alerted by local authorities about people who died eating breakfast. And then...
Because local authorities often alert teenagers about who's died while eating breakfast. That's standard protocol.
It's still in development. This show's still in development, guys.
Sure.
Still in development. But then it became this thing that's in development now, is the people go and they assume the people's identity over breakfast. So they go there, they see the person dead over breakfast, and then they take over their life. It's like single white female, but with like two kids taking over a family's life after breakfast.
It's like...
It's controversial. I said it's controversial.
Like Quantum
I don't know.
Leap.
Is it going to make it? I don't know. Advertisers are weary.
Yeah. It's a Quantum Leap with oatmeal. Mm. Okay. Harmar Superstar, play a little bit, if you would, from Dead and Breakfast.
I love this one.
Yeah.
Waking up, the sun so shining. It's the most important meal of the day. What you never thought, it never entered your head. You'd be laying in that omelet, stone cold dead.
Yeah.
Check your personality at the door, because we got so much more. Dead and breakfast.
coming to you on Yahoo next fall.
Yes!
You know, you brought it home with the promo hook at the end.
Look at the end. You saw him like running at the bottom of the screen.
Which is very crafty. And you managed to take something that was about both death and breakfast foods and make it kind of sexy. Harmar Superstar takes the round.
That's fair. That's right.
All right. Harmar Superstar, you'll go first for this one. The name of the show is Oh No, Not Brenda.
In the beginning, she was heaven sent, just like you could mend her. Heaven did send you this angel till you found out it was Brenda. Oh no, it's Brenda.
Nobody like Brenda.
That's all I got. I'm sorry.
And then the show begins, of course.
Ain't nobody like Brenda.
Yeah. Danny, what can you tell us about Oh No, Not Brenda?
Well, this is one of those where I don't want to give away too much.
Oh, sure.
But I will tell you, Brenda is about Brenda from Bowling Green, Kentucky. She, in the pilot episode, she sends just this anonymous letter to Cat Fancy magazine. And thinking no one's going to read it in her little town, but turns out someone does read it. And they come back to visit her in her town in Bowling Green, Kentucky. And so Brenda goes on these incredible adventures with her cats. So she basically, like, you know, she's a small town lady with big dreams and her cats. Right?
Which is exactly what I was trying to come across with in
hashtag
the song.
Hashtag cat fancy. There's already like a hashtag cat fancy, yeah. Brenda. She solves crimes with her cats? Come on. Who doesn't want to watch that show?
I think Danny wants this more. I'm going to give it to Danny Pooley. Yeah.
Thank you. I do want to watch that show.
Yeah, all right.
Song, it's very catchy too, the.
And finally, one more. Danny, you'll go first on this. The Stompening.
Ooh. Well, based on the thrilling theatrical experience of Stomp, loosely based.
Yeah.
Very loosely based. Set in a regional theater, the Fitzgerald, based on the Fitzgerald here.
Oh, okay.
During a performance of Stomp.
This is the musical where guys with trash cans stomp.
Yes,
a lot.
There's people with trash cans and they're making noises with crumpled pieces of paper and they're going boom, bah, bah, bah. And there's like no dialogue during it, I think. So this troupe of performers in St. Paul, Minnesota thinks it's just a normal show. Thinks it's just a normal tour date on Stomp. Little do they know that outside the theater, it's post-apocalyptic. The whole world has ended. Aliens have taken over the whole world, okay? So then this group, this regional troupe, this regional troupe of young artists who can dance and make lots of noises with other, like, crazy things, have to go out there and save the world. They're humanity's last hope, the cast of Stomp.
The Stompening.
The Stompening. This is one of my favorites I've been working on, actually. So.
So you think you bang a drum, but you're too dumb to afford one. Maybe we'll get out your buckets and your garbage and your sticks. Maybe give that little trash can a kick, cause it's the stomp, stompity, wompity, wompity, stompening all night long. The stompity, stompity, wompity, wompity. Ooh, the stompiting goes on and 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 on. Hey, maybe it's the end of the world. You ain't got your wits about ya.
Yeah.
But the stomping is happening. The world's collapsing. We don't know what else to do. But we go stomping, womping, womping, stomping, stomping, womp the clomp out. Oh, yeah. Oh, the stomping is on.
You know, I'm going to give Danny 1 point, but Harmar Superstar 2 points on that one. Harmar Superstar is the winner of the game. Congratulations, Sean Tillman.
I got to give it up for the band on that one. They really drove that one.
John Munson and the Witnesses. Well, Danny, I know you've been really busy with TV and film. You directed a documentary for ESPN, one part of their 30 for 30 series about the Marquette basketball team. A lot of stuff you have going on in your life. I have to ask, what project are you most excited about?
Thanks. That's easy, actually. It's Doctor Hospital. Yeah. It's this new medical drama from the makers of Cop Squadron, and it is amazing! Actually brought a clip from the pilot. Can we play it?
Oh, a clip? Sure, yeah. Sounds great.
Doctor Hospital, are you sick or are you well? Or can you even tell? Doctor Hospital.
Hello, can you help me? It's my first day working here. I'm supposed to check in with someone named Doctor Hospital?
Wrong preposition.
Excuse me?
You need to check in at Doctor Hospital. The building. The hospital. We are in Doctor Hospital, and you are checking in, so good work. Except, who are you?
Roger Dale. I'm the new doctor. The hospital is named Doctor Hospital? Why?
There are doctors in it. Don't you know what a doctor looks like, if not? We wear t-shirts that say doctor. We had them made at the mall. Also, the hospital was founded by Dr. Bruce Hospital 50 years ago. When he died, right away, they named this place Dr. Hospital in his honor.
I see. And you are?
Jimothy Hospital. MD. Founder's grandson and head doctor.
So you are Dr. Hospital?
In a sense, all of us here are Dr. Hospital. We're a team. And now you're a doctor at Dr. Hospital, and you too are Dr. Hospital. Here at the hospital known as Dr. Hospital. Doctors. Speeds up. Rookie, we got a case coming in.
Hello, Roger. Long time no see. Oh, five, so dizzy.
Beckany, what is my ex-wife doing here?
She's a doctor and also apparently a patient.
I have a broken heart from missing you, Roger. And a broken head from a brick that fell from the edifice onto my head just now. I was walking in for my first day working here. Now I'm dying. I have head cancer brought about by that brick. And a headache also brick-related.
But I moved across the country to get away from you and all my tortured past. What's going on here?
You see, Doctor, we here at Doctor Hospital realize that a day spent taking care of sick and injured strangers is boring, with a capital boring. So we hire ex-spouses. Standard policy.
Wow.
Damn it, Roger! I'm just gonna say it. I'm in love with Beckany. From the moment I met her a few seconds ago, I knew it. And then from the moment I heard she has head cancer, seconds later, I got sad.
Oh, I didn't know you felt that way. The in love or the sad.
It breaks my heart. Which is easy to do because I have heart cancer. From being so sad.
That's not how cancer works.
I have cancer of the feelings?
Yes. No.
Oh, gosh. What do you know about cancer, Roger?
I'm an oncologist. What kind of hospital is this?
Okay, here we go. It's called a character hospital. We've seen a lot of TV shows because we like TV. And the popular shows have doctors who fall in love, who are dying, who have something to offer besides dumb old doctoring. Take it from me. But don't take it from me. Let's go see some patients. Beckany, you wait here and be complicated.
I'm telling you, I have appendicitis.
Hey, Jekko, I'm the doctor here, and I don't even know the meaning of the word appendicitis.
Dr. Cannon has been working the case in his own way.
We both know the problem here. You don't want to get better. You want to make us cry because we cry a lot. Damn it! I want you to live!
I am living, but I have a searing abdominal pain.
Maybe you just need some snakes.
We'd better go. Oh, okay. Well, Dr. Cannon's techniques may seem unconventional. His style can come off as abrasive. He's a drug addict, a daredevil, often rides his dirt bike along the hospital corridors.
Dirt bikes forever!
But let me guess, he's the best damn doctor in this place.
Oh, no, no. He's terrible. Just a bad, bad, terrible, terrible, bad doctor who makes people worse. But you can't take your eyes off him. Except when he leaves on his dirt bike. Then obviously you can take your eyes off him because he is gone.
Well, that is a neat dirt bike.
You belong here, Roger. We have a clipboard in the break room of people who want to date you, dump you, get dumped by you. Someone wants to give you a grizzly bear. That's exciting. Most of the patients we get are emergency cases following boat explosions.
Are you blowing up boats?
Can I show you the operating place?
I don't think so. Look, I'm out. Good luck with Dr. Hospital, Dr. Hospital.
Roger, how did you get this job?
Well, I cured leg cancer, but then I forgot the cure after getting really drunk, and then I sobered up, and I got a variety of feelings, and I played by my own set of rules for a while, and then this was the only place that would have... Oh.
Yeah.
I see.
With you on our staff, plus Dr. Cannon and Bethany over here with her broken head, we can be more than a hospital. We can be a reality show. Then maybe a scripted drama, motion picture, who knows?
Anything beats taking care of patients, right?
That's for sure.
Doctor Hospital, are you sick or are you well? Can you even tell, Doctor Hospital?
Danny Pudi as Dr. Hospital, me as Roger, Christina Baldwin as Bethany, Mike Fotis as Dr. Cannon, Sean Tillman as the patient. Thanks to listener Tracy Mock of Omaha for the idea of making a medical spinoff of Cop Squadron. More with Harmar superstar and actor Danny Pudi in just a moment. This is Wits. I'm John Moe. This is Wits. I'm John Moe. Our comedy guest this week is actor Danny Pudi. You know him as Abed on the TV show Community. Our music guest, singer Harmar Superstar. And now, more letters from actual stormtroopers in the battle between the Empire and the Rebellion.
Dear cousin, I fear that those were the droids we were looking for. I have made a huge mistake and doubt very much that I shall ever see you again.
I must be off now. Many regrets.
Sister, as you know, I stand 7 feet 5 inches tall. However, regulation stormtrooper uniforms are for men no taller than 6 feet. I bring shame to our family every time I enter battle with exposed shins and forearms. Imagine rebel forces snickering and there's nothing you could do about it because you can't shoot accurately because stormtrooper. I've tried painting the exposed parts of my body alabaster white, but the sweat makes it all runny. I am being recruited for the Empire basketball team, but alas, I have no low post game.
My darling Leopold, to date, none of my stormtrooper compatriots have realized I am, in fact, a woman. I have taken great care to keep my hair cropped short and stipple rudimentary beard stubble upon my face. I also speak in a deep voice and craft quips regarding bodily functions. I intend to smash the patriarchy while also obeying Grand Moff Tarkin, Darth Vader, and the Emperor. But given that no one knows I am female and I am complicit in evil, I wonder how empowering this is for sisters. Marjorie.
Dearest family, it is time that I confess that I am terrified of space. I thought becoming a stormtrooper would be a great way to overcome this fear, but I was very, very wrong. The vastness is just too much. It's too much. And it's quiet. Too quiet. I hear my thoughts, and they are not good thoughts. I think of you often, although to do so is pointless, given that we are flecks of skin hurtling toward oblivion. P.S., thank you for the care package. I ate all of the jerky in one sitting.
My dear brother, I have been assigned to the wooded paradise known as Endor, where I may frolic in nature's repast and cavort with adorable teddy bear creatures who surely do not wish me dead. I have a sleek new helmet. It's still hard to see out of, boxy. I also have a speedy hover bike upon which I may whisk along through the forest, narrowly missing trees. Yes, under no scenario will I be killed by rebels, after which my head will be a drum for the teddy bears. Ah, nature, best to my dear family.
Danny Pudi, Harmar Superstar, Mike Fotis, Christina Baldwin, and me as stormtroopers, Joe Savage on harmonica. Support for Wits comes from books. Books can take you anywhere in the world. Oh, I'm sorry, I meant to say airplanes. Airplanes can do that, not books. Because come on. Additional support from listeners like you, not you specifically, just this group of people like you. We get funding from a truck-driving mouse. He's trying to get across the country in time, but his little mousy semi can't go all that fast. Better stay awake, little mouse. Truck-driving mouse. And from Taylor Swift. Not the singer, just this guy I know who can custom fit a suit really, really fast. Song correspondences. An announcement at a town meeting in a small coastal village. Now you all know me, I'm the mayor, and I'm here to announce we are closing the beach.
Our economy depends on that beach!
Yeah!
Why are you closing it?
We have had an incident. To break it to you gently and with campy panache, I've asked the rock band the B-52s to join me up here. It all started at a reception for the band given by the police department. Fred,
we were at a party. His earlobe fell in the deep. Someone reached in and grabbed it. It was a rock lobster.
My ear was ripped off by a rock lobster.
Rock lobster? So what is on your head?
It's a fake ear made out of putty. Now, obviously, the rock lobster is a vicious crustacean. We all fear it. Still, I thought maybe, okay, one-time thing. But the next day, the police department held a beach party. Again, the B-52s were there. The department and the band by this point had grown quite close.
We were at the beach. Everybody had matching towels. Somebody went under a dock, and there they saw a rock.
Well, a rock, it's not so bad.
I'm surprised this even merited a mention in a song.
It wasn't a rock. It was a rock lobster.
Rock lobster?
Now, at this point, We decided to investigate in scuba suits. I took Fred from the band with me because, I mean, he's just so delightful. I love having him around. And we ran into problems. Rock lobster problems.
Motion in the ocean.
Ooh-ah.
His air hose broke.
Ooh-ah.
Lots of trouble.
Ooh-ah.
Lots of bubble.
Ooh-ah.
Sounds like he was in a jam.
I was. And for a period of time, I was also in a giant clam.
Wait, wait, wait. So there are rock lobsters out there that eat ears and giant clams that swallow whole people.
Yeah, that's why we're shutting the beach down. B-52s, help me out.
Rock lobster! Down, down.
And this means there are certain things that we won't be able to do or see anymore.
Boys in bikinis, girls in surfboards, everybody's rocking, everybody's frugin', twisting around the fire, having fun, baking potatoes, baking in the sun.
God, that sounds great. I frugin' love sun-baked beach potatoes.
You know, I'm gonna miss sitting at the beach and just watching the majesty of nature.
Here comes a stingray!
What?
There goes a manta ray! In walked a jellyfish! There goes a dogfish! Chased by a catfish! In flew a sea robin! Watch out for that piranha! There goes a narwhal! Here comes a bikini whale!
This is the only beach in the world where you can see wild bikini whales, which are a real thing and not just made up.
Wait, what if we leave the beach open, put up a sign that says, don't put your earlobe in the deep, don't swim too close to giant clams, and we hope for the best.
Okay, yeah, yeah, okay.
Rock lobster!
Rock lobster!
Rock lobster! Rock lobster! A rock lobster!
Be safe, everyone. I'm our superstar with John Munson and the Witnesses as the B-52s, Danny Pudi, Mike Fotis, and Christina Baldwin as townspeople, me as the mayor. And now the Wits Lightning Round. Short question, short answer, big insight. Danny Pudi, what's the best thing about being from the Midwest?
Real people.
Sean Tillman, what's the worst thing about being from the Midwest?
Passive aggression.
Danny, which John Hughes movie do you wish you could have been in?
Breakfast Club.
Sean, can someone learn to have soul?
No.
Danny, can someone learn to be funny?
No.
Sean, best heavy metal screamy singer of all time?
Axl Rose.
Sean, worst fruit in a fruit salad?
Oh, melons.
Danny, cake or pie?
Pie.
Sean, skiing or never ever skiing?
Never ever ever skiing.
Danny, who taught you the most as a grown-up?
My mom.
Sean, figure skating or synchronized swimming?
Figure skating.
Danny Aiello or Danny DeVito?
DeVito.
Sean Connery or Sean Cassidy?
Can we combine the two to make Sean Connery Cassidy?
Yes, you may.
Good, thanks.
Sean, camping or anything else?
Anything else.
Danny, who in the community cast would be the best to go camping with?
Joel McHale, he brings knives.
Danny, a place in the world you've always wanted to go but have never been?
South Africa.
Sean, at age 12, what did you want to be when you grew up?
A singer.
Danny, at age 12, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Age 12? Close to a woman.
Danny, movie that you've seen the most times?
Monty Python: A Search for the Holy Grail, I would say.
Oh,
probably,
yeah.
I would say that.
Danny, if you had to be assistant manager at a chain restaurant, but could pick any chain restaurant, which one would you choose?
Applebee's.
I didn't even get through the question.
No doubt.
Sean, what's the biggest zoo animal you could beat up if it came right down to it?
Oh, God, maybe a koala. They're always asleep.
Danny, what's the biggest zoo animal you could beat up if it came right down to it?
Baby monkey. Baby.
And that's the Wits Lightning Round.
Yeah.
One more time. Here's Harmar Superstar.
Yeah. I'm on fire, baby. There's no place to go. So shed your clothes. We'll stop, drop, and roll.
I need a tall boy. You crack it open with me and don't be shaking. Come let out the steam. Where's my tall boy? Satisfy my needs. I feel like drinking. So come on, get inside me. Me and my girls will roll up. You know you want to check us out. Beats in the backseat blow up. Turn the whole scene. Still talking about Monday. Weekend is over now. Not me, no one, have we? Amateurs, get the hell. I don't see no ashtray. So many use the ground. Ladies, I just call for hairspray. Back door is open. You know the party's jumping. Everything is going for free. Gonna grab a piece of something. Take it home, I need a tall boy. You up, yeah, get out like the kids stop. Come on, but the eyes are broken. I'm not trying to be me. Just get the price. Jump on the floor with. I can feel the vibe go empty. DJ, be killing my groove. Just got the text you sent me. Time to make up. Take a look back to my house. Spread it through the VIP. All the pretty people line up the couch. Till we get some pride. That's right, Wits, this is a breakdown. Let's hear it louder than that, come on. There's no place to go. We'll stop trying to talk. There's no place to go. So shit, cold. We'll stop, drop, and roll. I need a tall boy.
Harmar Superstar with John Munson and the Witnesses. Want more Wits in your life? Go to witsradio.org and find out how you can see a Wits show in person. You can sign up for our newsletter, get the latest about what our various Wits guests are up to, or tell us what you're up to on Twitter. Just tag us. We're at Wits. Thanks to our friends actor Danny Pudi and singer Harmar Superstar. Our technical director is Corey Schreppel. Our coordinating producer is Hans Buto. Autumn Burgraff is our intern. Thanks to Ali Lozoff and the staff at the Fitzgerald Theater, Tom Campbell, Aaron Cassio, Dan Zimmerman, Alan Freckman, and Mike Wongan. Wits is written by me and Ben Acker and Mike Fotis and Christina Baldwin, both of whom also acted in this week's show, along with Janie Winterbauer. We're joined by our music director, John Munson, and the Witnesses, Joe Savage, Steve Rome, Richard Medick, and Janie Winterbauer, and our horn section for this week, Matt Darling, Zach Lozier, and Chris Thompson. Our executive producer is Peter Clowney. Our senior producer is Larissa Anderson. I'm John Moe. Bye now.